It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is brought to you by First Command Financial Services, reducing debt, building savings, protecting your future, pursuing your goals. These things are important to most of us, and they're important to the hundreds of thousands First Command has served since 1958. FirstCommand.com, 630-756-0193 for a free consultation. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by DuPage Credit Union. Donate today to the We've Got Your Back campaign and feel good knowing you are helping fill backpacks for over 4,000 local students who are unable to afford them. And feel good knowing 100% of the proceeds raised will go to this worthy cause, sponsored by DuPage Credit Union, in partnership with the DuPage Regional Office of Education. To learn more or to make a donation, stop by a DuPage Credit Union branch office or visit dupagecu.com/community. That's dupagecu.com/community. Arthur Murray danced in Naperville and now in Oak Brooks. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Just give them a call for a free lesson at 630-355-6240 or check out their website at arthurmurraynaperville.com. Napier Settlement, where history comes to play, napiersettlement.org. Divine Beauty, Lux Spa, spray tanning, and now offering light therapy. They are the sunless tanning professionals with answers to all of your sunless questions, and they're located in Naperville just off of Route 59. Check out their website, divinebeautyluxspa.com, or you can check out their Facebook page as well. Innovative Orthodontic Centers, Enhancing Smiles for Life. Oh, they are doing such a beautiful job on my Invisalign. You will not believe the results I've had so far, and I will be posting before and after pictures of this very soon on my social media. For a free consultation, you can contact her, Manel Ibrim, at 630-848-6960, or check out the website at www.orthocenters.org. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by Sullivan's Steakhouse in downtown Naperville. Check out their website at sullivansteak.com or call today for this weekend's reservation or Mother's Day, 630-305-0230. What a treat for mom. Steak at Sullivan's. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Mad Landscaping. Let them do your spring maintenance. Check out their website at madlandscaping.com or call today for a free estimate at 630-664-1612. All Service Limousine, where service is their middle name. Book your next ride at 877getlimo.com. That's www.877getlimo.com. And say hello to my friend Mario. Tell him that Dolly sent you. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by the Naperville Park District. They provide recreation and park experiences that enrich the quality of life for our Naperville community. They have a new summer program guide that's out. You can check that out or pick one up at their main office on Jackson Avenue in downtown Naperville, or check out their website at www.napervilleparks.org, and their number to call is 630-848-5000. Bracconi's, located in North and South Naperville, the kind of food your mama wanted you to eat. They're a small business that is family-owned and operated. They offer amazing Italian food. If you've never tried their food before, you're in for a treat. Come visit Bracconi's North for a comfortable dining experience, or order a pizza and pick it up at their South location. They do deliver, too, folks. Check out Bracconi's.com. That's Bracconi's, Bracconi's.com. The Strahl Team, REMAX of Naperville, serving the western suburbs for over 18 years and lifelong area residents. Contact Brian and Chris Strahl at thestrahlteam.com or call 630-222-1131. That's 222-1131 if you're buying, selling, or renting a home. And finally, the Dolly McCarthy Show is sponsored by the Naperville Trolley and Tours. The Naperville Trolley and Tours has several beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, and bar mitzvahs, and much more. It's always more fun on the Naperville trolley. Ding, ding.
Wow, I feel good. I knew if I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. feel nice. The sugar is fine. So nice, so nice. I got you.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
I love my aunt Dolly.
And I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show on Internet Radio and now on 89.9 FM in Chicago and WCKG, as well as Slam Internet Radio and Blog Talk Radio. This is the good show, that I like to call it, that airs every week. And I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. Thanks for tuning in to the good show, where every week I bring you good topics to discuss, good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. We're giving away tickets today to Stars on Ice and to Kankakee Barbecue Festival. Beth, any other tickets we're giving away to? We might have a couple. We'll figure it out. But you know what we want you to do in order to get those tickets? We're going to randomly pick your name like we always do. We've got more tickets to Stars on Ice. They went pretty fast a couple weeks ago. So email us at or Facebook us, send us a Twitter tweet, and you'll be definitely in the running for free tickets to Stars on Ice, first in May at the Allstate Arena, and Kankakee Barbecue Festival, that's in July, where there's going to be a ton of great, awesome country singers, 38 Special, Jim Peterick, and wouldn't you know it, Vanilla Ice, he's still around, folks. He's going to be there, too. So send us a Facebook message, tweet us, and we'll put you in the running for these free tickets. And I think we've got other free stuff to give away. We'll throw some things in there. We'll have some surprises in there, too. Well, is there anything more exciting than watching TV right now than, I meant anything more exciting to watch on TV than the Hawks? The Chicago Blackhawks, folks. Stanley Cup playoffs. Huge win last night for the Hawks, an epic overtime game. If you watched it, you know what I'm talking about. The Hawks now tied in the series. What an epic first-round series. The Hawks were amazing last night, tying the game late on a Brian Bickle goal, and then they won it 4-3 on Patrick Kane's overtime goal. Kaner is back. Did you have any doubts? He was off for like a month. And people were doubting that he's really back. Well, he's back, folks. And tonight, or tomorrow night, the Hawks head back to St. Louis for game 5. What an exciting night for the Hawks. Let's go, Hawks. And then we've got our Cubs yesterday. Big news. I got to mention this. Yesterday, Cubs had their 100th birthday of Wrigley Field yesterday. Did you get it? Did any of you see that cake? Buddy the Cake Boss made this 400-pound replica of Wrigley Field. It's cake. I just wanted second base. That's all I wanted. And everybody got cupcakes at the field yesterday. It was a great day, despite, wouldn't you know it, the Cubs lost to the D-backs. Oh, well, you can't win them all, right? I wonder what my pal, one of my loyal listeners out in Arizona, is thinking, Marilyn Calderella, what do you think of this Cubs fan, even though you're in Arizona? Tell me you're still a Cubs fan, Marilyn. Hello, Marilyn. Thanks for listening. She's such a loyal listener. She listens all the time. And a shout-out to my pal. You've heard him on the show before, on the Dolly McCarthy Show, Michael McDermott, amazing singer-songwriter. Let me see if I can play some of this music. Oh, this is one of my favorite songs of Michael's right here. Yes. It'll be good. Michael, it's going to be good this year for our Cubs, right? He's singing tomorrow, the national anthem. It's the first one of the season at Wrigley. May I It's going to be good this time. That's what Michael says. This is the year for our Cubs, right? And what a perfect year it would be to celebrate the 100th anniversary or birthday anniversary of Wrigley Field. The first game, can you believe that? 100 years ago, yesterday, was the first game at Wrigley Field. Amazing. Anyway, I wish I could be at the Cubs game tomorrow to see my pal Michael McDermott sing his first national anthem at Wrigley Field of the season. He's sung there many times before. But hey, Michael, you're going to be there May 16th. May 16th, Dallin McCarthy Show is going to sponsor Garen Prep High School. They have a tradition. They walk to Wrigley, and we're going to go see the game, the 120 game on Friday, May 16th against the Brewers. And Dallin McCarthy Show is a proud sponsor of this event. If you'd like to go, tickets are available, and you can sponsor this event. All proceeds go to benefit Garen Prep College Prep. It's my alma mater. It used to be Mother Garen, but then it merged with Holy Cross. And, you know, I'd love to see you come out and hang out with me at the Cubs game on Friday, May 16th. And maybe Michael McDermott. I got to check with Michael. If he's singing, if he is singing, we're going to have to set something up with Michael. We'll have to meet up with Michael and have a few brews, or maybe a beverage, if you're not a brew person, a beverage over at Murphy's. A tradition, right? Hey, I wanted to tell you, too, next week we have a special guest coming on the show, John Pardy, folks. Country singer John Pardy is going to be on the show, and we're really excited to have him. So stay tuned for that next week, okay? He's going back on tour, and, you know, I've played his songs before. You've heard them before. If I could just pull one up right now. Here we go. It's one of my favorite songs of the week. He'll be on next week. Stay tuned. Coming up, Chuck Finner. Party. We will be talking to him next week, so stay tuned for that. I just wanted to give you all a heads up on that. Some exciting news there. Hey, we have some great guests. Chuck Finner is, if I could turn off this music right here. Yeah, here we go. It's still playing, Beth. I don't know how to turn it off. Here we go. You know how good I am at this board. I'm getting better. Okay, we have author Chuck Finner on the line. Chuck, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning. So glad to be on your program.
Well, we're really happy to have you as a guest, Chuck. You have written a monumental piece of work. In 2012, Chuck Finner has published the book, The Tragedy at the Luma Street Crossing. Many people in Naperville know what this is all about, but there are many people that don't, even in this town. It's a book that tells the largely forgotten story of the Naperville train wreck of April 25th, 1946. And Chuck is here because this Saturday in Naperville, prompted by Chuck's story, the city is going to be dedicating a striking sculpture at the Naperville train station. And Chuck spent 5 years researching his work. He has some fascinating stories to tell, and we're thrilled to have him on the show. Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I'd like to compliment you on alerting your listeners to this timely event.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's talk about this. Tell us, what is your interest in this? What prompted you to write this book about this tragedy? And it's such a tragedy. Obviously, any kind of train wreck is tragic, but there were lives lost, and even more horrific about it is there were servicemen coming home from the war on this train. Is that right?
Yes. The reason I'm probably connected to this or interested in it is because I retired from teaching in 2002, and since that time I still felt like I'd like to make a difference, and I wrote a book on prayers that was out in 2005 and 2008, and then after that, I looked at a clipping of the Naperville train wreck, the 40th anniversary, and I wondered to myself, why hasn't anybody ever written anything about this? And one of the reasons is because of those soldiers that came. It was right after the war. Soldiers didn't really want to talk about the horrors of the war, and they didn't want to talk about the horrors of the 45 people who died. And there were also no persons, no victims were from Naperville. Had 45 people died from Naperville, there probably would have been a little bit more interest in documenting that event. And our family lived just a block from the train wreck intersection. And I was born in October 1946, and Naperville didn't have a hospital at that time. Edwards Hospital was a tuberculosis sanitarium. So I was born in St. Charles Hospital in Aurora, and that's where they took the majority of the injured people from the train wreck. And after my birth, and I was born in October, there were still three people who were injured who were in the hospital. So it's
wow, I was just going to ask you, Chuck, if some of those injured were still in the hospital when you were born. And here
yes.
we are all these years later, six decades later, you're writing a book, you're
yes.
writing their story. Is this the
right.
only
they never would have been
story?
Able to guess
do you know if this is the only book written about this story, about the train wreck?
There have been technical issues and bulletins of the Burlington Railroad that talked about the wreck itself, but no book is written about the 40. I spent 5 years researching the lives of all the 45 people and interviewing the only two surviving eyewitnesses. And it was very important that I do this quickly because, you know, that was 60-some years ago, and a lot of these people who were dying off, and that history was being lost. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about
the
actual accident.
Like
how did this
sure.
happen? How did the accident happen? And it was April 25th, 1946. Was it about the temperature out right about now, Beth, would you say? It's 40, 30, 40 degrees. Was it a little chill in the air? What time of day did this happen?
It's really kind of interesting because it's very, very similar to the week that we're having now, because the people who were on the train were either soldiers or they were people who had come to Chicago to visit relatives for Easter. Easter was a Sunday before, just like it is now, and they were returning home, a lot of them to southern Illinois. And the temperature in their Easter was about 80, so it was a little bit warmer. And the temperature on the day of the train wreck was in the upper 60s. So I think it's going to be, well, tomorrow I forget what the temperature is going to be, but the actual dedication on Saturday, they're having the dedication the day after the actual commemoration of the event, because if they had it tomorrow, there wouldn't be any parking available at the train station, so they wisely made it Saturday.
Okay. So how did this happen? How did this train wreck happen?
Well, it was kind of an accident waiting to happen, because at that time they had two trains, the Exposition Flyer, and that was going out to California, and they had the Advance Flyer that was going to Burlington, Iowa, and then on to Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska. And they started out, both of them started out at 12:35 p.m., and then about 4 miles out at Kenzie Avenue, the Exposition Flyer went behind the Advance Flyer to kind of save space for the trains, and so they were going 2 to 3 minutes apart at speeds of 80 to 85 miles an hour, so it's kind of an accident waiting to happen. When they got to Naperville, the Advance Flyer, the brakeman on the train, noticed something fly from out of the train, from underneath the train, and he alerted the conductor, who was then under obligation to alert the engineer, Mr. Anderson. They stopped the train. Unfortunately, they stopped it around the curve. And when the following train, the Exposition Flyer, came around the curve, he could not stop in time and went into the back of the Advance Flyer at speeds about 50 to 55 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness. And then when it hit, the impact, from what I read about it, instant death for many. How many lives were lost?
It's interesting because, I mean, there's so many stories. There were 44 people who were killed in the advanced flyer. All of them were killed either in the last car, of course. The second last car was kicked out of the way, and the other people who were killed in the dining car, the third car from the end. So 44 in the first train, and the second train there was only one, and that was the fireman who sat with the engineer. He came around the bend. He saw the train's stationary, you know, sitting there. He said to the engineer, "It looks like we're going to go into it," and he jumped out of the cab, and he's the only one that died. And he probably jumped out. Yeah, he probably jumped out because 3 years before his brother-in-law, who was an engineer, was trapped in a cab and died from the fire. And he probably, maybe in his mind, was thinking, "I'm getting out of here," but he didn't survive.
Oh my goodness! Wow, that is quite a story. You spent 5 years researching this work.
Yes.
Do you have actual witnesses? Were there witnesses? Are there any witnesses alive still that were able to talk to you about this accident, or people that were there immediately after?
You're asking some very interesting questions. There were two that were alive when I was researching it, and that was Harold Schrader, and he was the foreman of the yard. He would get the lumber in from Crailers, and then he'd dry the lumber, season the lumber in the kilns, and then send it up for the furniture factory. He was outside and knew that these trains came by every day, and it was like a program. When he saw the first train stop, he walked out to see what was the matter, and he immediately looked in the back, knowing that there's another train coming. He yelled at the people, "Get the hell out of there," and ran in and made the first phone call. So I interviewed Harold when he was 98 years old. He just passed away just short of his 100th birthday, and so I have him on tape. And the second person is Larry Cena, who's still alive. And Larry Cena was going to school in North Central on the GI Bill. He had just been discharged from the Army, and he lived on Brainerd Street. He always walked across the tracks to North Central, but this time his path was impeded by the stationary train. And he saw this happen. Now, the interesting thing about Larry Cena is that he had no real interest at that time about trains. And later, though, he went on to become the president of the Santa Fe Railroad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you said you lived a block away. Were you home at the time or at school? Because I do remember talking to some people in Naperville. They were at Washington. You know where Washington Junior High is now, not far from the train tracks. That was high school at the time.
And
from what I heard, some of the high school kids ran over there and helped out.
Yeah, they did. In my book, I list a number of them who jumped out. The women at that time were a little bit more docile, and maybe today they would have jumped out also, but there were some boys that jumped out. There was also Jack Malik, who was a science teacher and a Latin teacher, and he was on the second floor teaching a general science class. He was also the assistant fire chief. And when he heard the sirens come, he ran out of his class, ran to to Washington Street there and jumped on the fire truck, and he was one of the first people there at the scene also. Mm-hmm. There was also a photographer, somebody who worked, Henry Naira, who worked for the Naperville Sun. He was out in the gym class, and he ran in, got his camera, and he ran out of an algebra class and got over there as well.
And now with you living in Blackwood, obviously you weren't born yet. I think I might have moved up there. You weren't born yet. But with you, your family living in Blackaway, was your mother home at the time? Because I had heard two women that were home hanging up clothes in the backyard, you know, their laundry, heard this. I don't know, what was the sound? It was like wails or screeching.
It's described
by
different
people. They just
heard metal. Yeah, they said that they've never heard anything like that. It was so tremendous of sound, and they had the insulation that was floating up in the air, and the center sill of the last car was bent down about 18 inches, and it propelled the engine up in the air a little bit, and then it slammed down. You can just imagine the collision and what that the impact it made at the passengers in the last car. There was a person in the last car who was wounded in Okinawa, and when the train stopped, he got up to get a drink of water to see what was happening, and imagine his horror when he looked and he saw the other train coming towards him, and he screamed and ran toward the front of the car, and he's unbelievably survived. But in answer to your question, about whether my mom was home, yeah, she was pregnant with me, and they kept her away because she didn't want her to be traumatized, and our kids were kept away too. And we were shielded from the actual site by Crailer Factory. We were right in the front of right across from the main entrance of Crailer's. It's now a parking lot. So none of my brothers or sisters, my three brothers and sisters who were alive at the time, were allowed to go over there. My dad worked at Crailer's, and I believe he was probably one of those people assisting at the time. But there's so many. I can tell you one. You know, this is a tragedy, but also it's a triumph. This sculpture by Paul Kuhn. It's a remarkable, this artist, it's his first commissioned work, and he's a rising star in the world of sculpture, I believe. It's just a sensational. His sculpture was made out of 4,000 to 5,000 railroad spikes, and I've seen pictures of it, and it's just the people that are going to be there at the dedication, it's just, they're going to be amazed. And I wanted to say that I'm going to be speaking Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Nichols Library, and then it's 10 o'clock Saturday morning, the day of the dedication at St. Peter and Paul Parish Hall. So the people can hear, they'll appreciate the dedication more, I think, if they see the background, what goes in, and some of the stories. The one story I wanted to get in is Dexter Sexton. This lady just, it's not in the book, this lady emailed me just a week ago and said most people who were affected, whose lives were affected by the train wreck, think of it as a tragedy. But my father was injured and taken to St. Charles Hospital. He was injured so critically that they had a nurse attend just to him. And the nurse and my father, Dexter Sexton, fell in love, got married, and that's the reason why she said that she was alive today. So she looks at it a little bit differently than a tragedy. Through that accident,
brought two people together, a love story out of this tragedy.
Yes.
What a fascinating story right there. Okay, so Friday at 7 o'clock, you're going to be at Naperville's Nichols Library. Speak about it. Do people need to make a reservation to call ahead to reserve a spot?
No, just come on in. There'll be books available if they want them. And there's Saturday, the same thing. There'll be books available.
Saturday, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
That will be at St. Peter and Paul Parish Hall.
Parish Hall,
And that's not far from the train station. Right.
Just three blocks. Three blocks.
And then the dedication takes place on Saturday, April 26th at the Naperville train station. That's the one in downtown Naperville at 1:05. Yeah, 1:05. Is that when the accident actually happened?
Yes. The first train Advanced Flyer stopped at 1:03, and the other train came in 2 minutes later, and so that's why they had that appropriately. A wise observation there, Dolly.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, because you mentioned, I have some notes here, and it says that 70 relatives of the victims will be attending the talk and the dedication ceremonies. And you said that none of them were from Naperville. So we are going to be meeting people from, I'm assuming, all over the country. They're coming in to honor their lost ones.
They're coming in from California, Tennessee, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Iowa, and probably a couple other states that I forgot, but they want their grandchildren and grandnieces to hear about this train wreck. And there's one couple, the two men were riding together. One was an attorney that was going to work a deal for this company, and the other one was a salesman. And they both died, and their families have never met each other, but will meet each other for the first time. And a lot of these people, none of these families have met each other and will be able to share experiences. And I'm just so excited for that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's gonna be very interesting, especially to meet these the relatives, and I'm sure for many of them, maybe one of their first times coming here to see the actual site. the travel back then wasn't so, you know, easy as it was today, as it is today, I should say.
Right.
So this is going to be quite an I saw pictures of the sculpture myself. I just can't get over It's just amazing, and how all of it is made out of, like you said, the nails or the spikes from the train tracks. It's just
it's
amazing.
Incredible. My wife and I drove from New York yesterday, and we didn't even go to the hotel. Fortunately, Paul Kuhn was there and just putting the finishing touches, and the sculptures wrapped up. But we saw each other and we just hugged each other because he complimented me for writing the book, and I complimented him for such a tremendous, magnificent sculpture and work that he did. So it was a very emotional meeting.
It's a tribute, too, to all those that came, and all the Naperville spirit. It's a can-do spirit. It's when tragedy strikes, when people need help, you know, you just have to say the word, and people come. They do. They do come running in this town, and it's a tribute to those that lost their lives, but also the spirit of service and empathy in this town. So it's going to be quite something. Where is the sculpture actually going to be placed? Is it right near the train station depot, or where exactly is it, or in that park?
It's right east of the – it's right adjoining the train station on the platform, but it's the easternmost part of the platform, and it's right where 4th Street starts. It's right across that corner from 4th Street, 4th and Ellsworth, I guess it is, right across the street there. So when you get up there, it's right, and it's catty corner, I think, from the Burlington Square Park. So you won't miss it.
You can't miss it. Right when you get off the train, it's right there, and there's parking. There'll be plenty of parking on Saturday around there because we've got the whole lot on the other side by the... Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to tell you that the Naperville band is going to be playing, performing too, and Ron Keller came up with something. He found a march that's called the CB&Q March because it was the Chicago, Burlington and Quincy Railroad, CB&Q, and he found that march called the CB&Q March that was written in 1886, and that's one of the pieces that they're going to perform on the day of the dedication.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, the book has prompted the erection of a memorial by the Naperville Century Walk organization. This memorial, you've got to see it. The dedication is this Saturday, and the book by Chuck Spinner, it's called The Tragedy at the Loomis Street Crossing. It's all about the April 25th, 1946 Naperville train wreck that now many people know about this train wreck, thanks to you, Chuck. But it was something that it was not something that was widely known in this town, even 5 years ago maybe. I remember I first learned about it when I took my kids to the library, Nichols Library, and you looked at that cast iron map that's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw two trains looking like they crashed. I'm like, what is that? And then that's what prompted me to start talking about it and trying to find out more about it. And but I can't wait to look at the book, read the book. And we will see you Friday at the library and Saturday at Peter and Paul. Thanks so much for being on the show. And best of luck to you in the book. I hope you get have a lot of sales and people learn more about this. And what is the one thing you want people to walk away from after they read the book? What's the message that you want? Not just the learning of the tragedy itself, but what's the message here that we all can take with us?
Well, I guess, you know, I was a history teacher for 33 years, and I think the message would be for history to be complete, it has to be all-inclusive, and not just all the good things that happened, but the good and the bad as well, and also out of something that's a tragedy, there is a lot of triumph. So the book also, you know, talks about the tragedy, but also, like you mentioned, talks about all the heroic efforts that were made at the crash site. And all the people that come back, they have mentioned this to me. They want to come back not only to commemorate their ancestors who died or victims, but also want to thank Naperville for what they did so many years ago.
Yeah. Very good. All right, Chuck Spinner, thanks so much for being on the Dolly McCarthy Show. We really appreciate it. The book, again, is called The Tragedy at the Loomis Street Crossing. Thanks a lot, Dolly, Chuck,
for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Paul Harvey, good day.
It's a good day, indeed. And guess what? Today is a good day, and we're also going to focus on tomorrow. That is a not-for-profit that is now we're going to feature on our show, the Dolly McCarthy Show. Will Barroso is joining us now. He is the founder of the non-for-profit Focus on Tomorrow. How's that for an introduction, Will? You know, I really messed up on the board. I kind of wanted to play this really good song, but then I got something popped up. Everybody knows how good I am on this radio board here. Will, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dolly? Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Well, okay, this is just fascinating. I love this because you're not just raising money. You are hands-on. This is a hands-on not-for-profit. You're offering internships for students to act as producers, correspondents for a variety of media packages, right? So tell us more about this, what this is, and how did you come about starting this, Will?
Correct. Well, see, I, like you, have spent most of my life in the media business. I work at ABC 7 in Chicago, but I've worked at television stations in Orlando, Florida, Miami, Los Angeles. So TV is very dear and close to my heart. So I had a lot of mentors growing up, and they led me in the right path, and here I am today. So I thought, you know, why not create an organization that would sort of give back to young adults who are interested in getting into media, sort of like I was at one time. So some of the producers here at ABC and I got together and we formed Focus on Tomorrow. It is a nonprofit here in Chicago. And we partnered with Chicago Public Schools. They send over some high school students that are already in media programs at their school. And we just sort of take what they're learning in the classroom and expand on that and sort of take them out into the real world and get them to produce packages and edit them on their – they do everything by themselves. And you know, they're getting real-world experience that they wouldn't be getting anywhere else. So, yeah, it's a very rewarding organization because we do work with young adults and we feel good about the product that they're producing. So yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah, well, you're giving them a real head start here too, because most young adults going into the media world, like you and I are in, don't really start doing this till, you know, maybe late in their college years. So here is what a great opportunity you're giving high school kids this, and they're really getting a head start and deciding whether or not this is something they even want to go into, or giving them a head start in a job or direction of where they want to go in the media world. It's enormous. You know, you could go into reporting and anchoring. You can go into producing, shooting the camera, editing. There's so many different ways to be involved with busy media, news and production, TV, you know, shows. It goes on and on. So
right.
You really are giving them a head start.
And it's such a competitive field that any head start you can get would definitely be beneficial. But even more than just getting kids going in the field of media, we are promoting education first and foremost. In fact, I'll share with you a little story about a young man that we had in our program last year. He was from Kelly High School, and he was a senior. And as we were going along in the program, you know, as the year was winding up, I asked him what college he was going to be attending in the fall, and he said that, you know, college wasn't for him. So I explained to him that, you know, any job you get in media is going to require a college degree. And that's how we screen our applicants here at ABC. If you don't have a college degree, you're automatically out of the mix. So you know, he started listening to me, and he said, well, you know, actually, I don't even know that I want to get into media. So I asked him, well, what are your interests? And he says, well, I like working in kitchens. You know, I work at a kitchen now for Gibson's, and I want to be a chef one day. Well, here at ABC, we produce a show called Let's Dish for the Live Well Network, and the host on that show, his name is Chris Ketke. He's the dean of the culinary school at Kendall College. So I asked
Chris has been on this show, by the way, Will.
Have you? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't
Chris
know that he had been
on
it. Okay,
he
yeah,
gave
Chris.
A Thanksgiving tip.
Chris is an amazing guy. So I talked to Chris, and I said, you know, I have this young man who is interested in being a chef. He doesn't have great grades, but he wants to do something, and I want to get him in a college. Well, we talked to the young man. He enrolled in Kendall College. He started working with Chris on his show, Let's Dish, and he's there now. So it's those types of moments that make Focus on Tomorrow really rewarding for me and my partners, because whether or not you go on to work in media, you're developing yourself and you're investing in your future. And that's our mission, is to just get kids on the right path, you know, to success.
Yeah. Well, how do you track the success of this program too?
Well, through maintaining relationships with, you know, I mean, the program has only been around about a year and a half. So right now we're seeing our first graduating class, or I'm sorry, last year we saw our first graduating class, and we've maintained relationships with those kids, and you know, we know that what they're up to. So we do know that our message is getting out there. It is also a small group. This year we have about 20 students. So next year, you know, we hope to keep these relationships, and we hope that they continue working with us, not necessarily in the capacity of an intern, but sort of like a young mentor to other high school students that come along through the program. So just because you're not in high school doesn't mean you have to go away. You know, you can contribute to other, you know, people's futures by just sharing your own experiences.
So would you say the point of this program, Focus on Tomorrow, is to not just to teach the media skills, but to give them some confidence, some boost their self-esteem, and promote, like you said, promote going on to college, promote secondary education. So it's really a fourfold here, trifold, whatever you want to call it. There's many things going on here that you're trying to help these young people.
Absolutely. You know, creating media is just, you know, something that's been a part of my life forever. So it's the one tool that I know how to use to engage students. However, the underlying message is what you just described. It's promoting education and promoting self-confidence. You know, it's one thing to create a package at school and, you know, interview your principal or your PE coach. I mean, these are people that you're familiar with because you come in contact with them every single day. But I have taken these students and I've put them in, you know, situations where they're interviewing people that they don't even know. Recently, we even interviewed Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon. That's really intimidating for a high school student to interview the Lieutenant Governor of the state. But they handled it with grace and some errors that we look back at and laugh. But more than anything, they're walking away with a sense of accomplishment and nothing builds
on self-confidence.
Well,
they're getting their feet wet, too. And they're getting their feet wet. Hey, I interviewed someone from the governor's office. So, you know, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good start, for sure.
Exactly. And,
well,
and I get on them.
You've got a fundraiser coming up.
Okay. I do.
Sorry,
I
Will,
do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we definitely have a fundraiser coming up on May 10th to support this program. It's going to be held at the First Ward at the Chop Shop. The Chop Shop is a butcher shop / deli shop and restaurant that happens to have a multi-purpose venue right behind the restaurant. It's a gorgeous venue in Wicker Park. The address is 2033 North Avenue. And we are going to have a social hour there. It's hosted by Windy City Live's Jisook Yee. Windy City Live is a show that we produce here at ABC7.
Right.
So she's hosting it. There's going to be a lot of media people there, so it's definitely a great networking opportunity as well. But more than anything, you're going to come out and meet some of these kids that are in the program, and that's another thing I like to do. Is I like to get these kids in these little social mixes because they get the opportunity to rub elbows with people who have careers that span all kinds of industries. So they get a little taste of, you know, what's happening out there in the real world and how they can achieve the same level of success. So I you know, ask the kids to go out and, you know, talk to as many people as possible so that they can, you know, get some networking experience because that's mm-hmm. tough for a high schooler as well. So,
wow.
Yeah,
well,
I'm hoping that a lot of people...
Growing up- When you were in high school, is this something that why you started this? Did something similar in high school, was someone there for you? Was there a program there that benefited you? What made you start this?
Yes, there was a television production program at my high school in Miami, and one day, this was maybe 4 years ago or something like that, I was in Miami visiting my parents, and I just happened to drive by the high school, and I came to find out that that program that was incredibly influential in my life no longer existed because of state budget cuts. So I reached out to some of the alumni of that high school who I knew had successful careers in media, whether it's film or television, radio, and, you know, they told them what had happened. So we all got together and we started fundraising for that program, which is really how Focus on Tomorrow came to be. And once we got that program back up and running at the high school, well, we were left with a charity on our hands, and we were like, what do we do now? So, you know, we started working with high schoolers directly, which has really been the most rewarding venture we've, you know, embarked on yet.
Wow. Well, this sounds so fantastic. Focus on Tomorrow, folks. It's a non-for-profit. Will, founder of this. About 2 years now, will you say, that you've been...
About a year and a half, 2 years we've been doing it here in Chicago. And there's, you know, you could definitely find... Sorry.
Where can they go? What website can they go to get more information?
I was just going to say, absolutely. They can visit focus-on-tomorrow.org for more information on what it is that we're doing and on the May 10th event.
Okay, and where can they buy the tickets? Right there on that website?
The same website, yeah. There's an event tab, and we're going to have a 90s cover band called According to Sarah playing that evening, so there's a lot of fun to be had.
Oh, right. It sounds like a great time. Well, Will, hats off to you for all that you're doing for the kids. I love having these kind of not-for-profits on that are doing things for our future. These are our future leaders, folks, and so Focus on Tomorrow. Check out that website, everybody. Will, thanks so much for being on the show and for all that you're doing.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dolly.
And come back again. We want to check in with you and see how this is doing, and maybe you can bring one of your students.
Absolutely. Oh, that'd be a great experience.
And we can hear firsthand from them how it's been beneficial, for sure. Thanks again, Will.
Thank you, Dolly. Bye-bye.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Is called Black Crows, and that, my friends, is my pal Jenny Frank singing there. She's a singer-songwriter from Chicago. Boy, she's really making a name for herself, making waves, especially this year. Jenny Frank, everybody, welcome her to the show. Jenny, how are you?
Hey, Dolly, good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
I like your show.
Oh, thank you so much. I love your singing. I love your songs.
Thanks.
We're going to have another love fest here. You know,
yeah.
When Jenny came out, some of my listeners may have remembered Jenny or heard her, remember hearing her sing and perform at the Dolly McCarthy Show one-year anniversary party over at Sullivan's Steakhouse. She came out for that, and we were lucky to listen to you sing and play the guitar and jam out. You even jammed out with my cousin, I heard, at one point.
Was that your cousin? Yeah, he's so good. He's so talented. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
I was lucky he was there.
Speaking of talent, my friend, you play the piano, and then you've evolved to guitar, and your voice is just so unique, and it's just incredible. You're incredible talent, and I'm so excited for you and so happy for you. Things are really happening for you.
Thanks.
You got a new album coming out, too.
Yeah, I've got a show coming up on, it's in West Dundee. Actually, it's for female act named Delena. She's going to be in town. She's actually from South America, so she's coming to West Dundee to play kind of like a more intimate, laid-back set before she goes into Chicago and plays.
Okay, I mentioned you have a new album coming out, but it already came out. That's right, it already came out. Jenny was going to be on the show back in March, but then something happened. We had to reschedule. But the album already came out. It's called Beautiful Lies, and it was released on March 11th this year. And she's going to be performing this Saturday. If you're looking for something fun to do, definitely don't miss this show. This Saturday night at the Bikini Bottom Bar and Grill. How fun is that?
Yeah.
So Jenny's going to be
biggest,
there singing
the
and some other
place.
Guests. What time are you going on Saturday?
So I think, I think the show starts at 7. I'm probably going to end up going on about 9, a little bit later. But, there's going to be some other great acts there. The employees are going to be there. They've played with Rage Against the Machine. There's another female act, Kristen Kelly. She was nominated for an Emmy. And then we've got a young act called Ashley Ashton, and she just won an award for pop, one of the best pop albums for Chicago. So.
All right, enough promoting everybody else. We want to talk to Jenny Frank. We want to know more about Jenny. No, that's good to know, but this is going to be a jam-packed musical night for sure. And Jenny's going to be there singing Black Crowes. I just played that song a little bit before Jenny came on. So Jenny's Black Crowes on Beautiful Lies, and
yes,
Sit and Run on Beautiful Lies.
Absolutely,
I have your CD. I play it in my car. Sit and Run, Black Crowes. I'll play Sit and Run after we chit-chat for a little bit. And then you've got about 6 other songs on this CD.
CD. No, this is actually my 5th. This one, technically, my 3rd one actually to be released, but this one is it's a 10 song album, and it's I'm really proud of it. I worked with Jabin Pinnell out in Rockford with Vibe House. He's a super talented producer, so I was lucky to be able to. It's when you find someone you can connect with and kind of work with creatively like that, it's something special. It's hard to find that,
Yeah. Well, so. After 5 CDs, you ought to know. You probably know by then what
what
makes something what's really well what to look for, and you just
what
know
you mesh with,
you're
yeah.
in, right? What you mesh
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Exactly. So would you say, is this your, what's your favorite out of all your 5 CDs? What was your favorite? Are they all your favorite?
I have
5 kids, Jenny. I can't say that one of them is my favorite. They're all special in their own way, right? That was a bad question.
Yeah, they're all special in their own way. You're so right. But I think I'm, obviously, I guess I'm most excited about this one because it's the newest, so the freshest. So it's like right out of right out of my stomach. And it's kind of gross. Like it's a baby. Oh, man, that's awful.
Tell us about some of the music. The music on the CD, what's the feeling that people, when they listen to the CD, kind of walk away
from?
What were you going for?
I was going for, you know, more of like the poetic, like singer-songwriter approach. I mean, I am a singer-songwriter, but I kind of guess I focused in on that a little bit more on this one. You know, the lyrically speaking, I think, and, you know, just like, you know, honesty, you know, more of like trying to represent more of like the truth that's out there in the world. I don't feel like there's a lot of representation of that in the artistic industry today in general, and I just kind of wanted to bring that out a little bit more.
The truth.
And, you know, the
I love
feel,
the title.
Yeah, the
beautiful
truth.
Lies.
Yeah.
Beautiful lies. Now,
life
what
is
were
a
you thinking
big, beautiful
that
lie,
one?
Right?
Something, some situation, some relationship maybe that came out of?
Yeah, the song is about a relationship, but, you know, the album title, you know, the concept is about, you know, life, you know, it's like, you know, when you're younger, you're a little kid, you kind of grow up, you're all excited, like, about, like, all the possibilities, and everything's new and fresh, and then you get older, and, you know, you just kind of get broken in a little bit, and you just kind of realize that, like, not everything is really, you know, what it is, or what people portray themselves to be, I guess. I think it's okay to just be yourself and just go with it, you know, and do what you want to do. And it's okay to be happy, you know. I don't think people...
Absolutely, yeah. Well, now, the Beautiful Lies, the cover is so neat. Who did your artwork? Is that you, too, in that red dress with the gym shoes? I love it.
That is my niece, actually.
Oh,
really? My niece, Natalie, yeah. She is. I thought, putting a child on the cover was a representation of more of, like, you know, innocence. And then the tree, the empty tree was, you know, the big lie, like, covering over the innocence. She was a great model. She did a great job.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful cover. A lot of people are into that artwork on their CDs and remember the albums back then. That was
yeah, when they had them.
Big thing, big deal. But so you kind of have, for people who are just tuning in and haven't heard your voice, you kind of have that, you have a signature sound that's kind of heavy with a twist of grunge, would you say? But you sure have a voice that definitely captures the soul, that's for sure. And that's one of the things that really drew me into you, and I just love listening to your voice. And it's a very peaceful voice, too. And it is. It's so truthful. I mean, it just what comes out of your mouth, you just believe it immediately. You know? Or we feel your pain.
Aww.
So tell me some of your artists that inspired you.
You know, I think my biggest, well, my very first concert I ever saw was the Beach Boys. They're, you know, inspiration. But Debbie Gibson was, like, my idol when I was younger growing up. Not that many people know that. But, you know, my inspirations for writing would be more of, like, along the lines of, like, Nirvana, Silverchair, Pearl Jam, Johnny Cash, love him. Elliot Smith.
Oh,
have you heard of Elliot Smith? He makes me cry.
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, I love him. You should check him out. You might dig him.
Okay, I definitely will. And and Jenny, too, I got to mention this. You were listed in the New Delhi magazine? Did I have that right? As the number one songwriter from Chicago. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
You're exploding all over social media, too. I see you all over the place. You were just on Man Cow not too long ago, and then you were on WGN Radio not long ago.
Oh, I was on the Nick D Show at 2 o'clock in the morning this morning, actually, with my friend from Wiener and Still Champion. He brought in food, and you provided the food, and I provided the music. So it was pretty fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hilarious. Well, at least we gave you a better time slot on the Dolly McCarthy Show. So, hey.
Yeah, there you go. You can't beat that time. You can't.
Well, Jenny has self-entitled EP. Now, what's EP? What does that stand
EP,
for?
That stands for extended play. So that's more of like, you know, a full album would be at least, you know, 10 to 14 songs, 10 at minimum. And then an EP extended play would be you know, anywhere from, I don't know, I believe it's anywhere from four to nine songs would be an EP.
Well, you released your self-titled EP back in 2009. So are those, if people want to dig back, go back and start listening to you from the very beginning, are those on iTunes?
Some things are on iTunes. My very, very first one is called Nothing Girl. That's everywhere. It's easy to find. And you'll definitely hear a difference, the progression there. But the self-titled EP, I do not believe is listed anywhere. But if you come out to the show, I definitely have some available. So, and I've
definitely
be handing them out. So.
So what? So Jenny, are you writing and singing full time? Is this your full time gig? Are you devoting everything to this, or do you work? I know we've had Billy Croft on the show. He's an amazing country singer songwriter, and he's a Naperville fireman. Are you able to dedicate all of your time to this now? Or are you really going
Not
for it?
Not yet, but I'm really going for it. So it's
tough because you gotta
it's
have
on
money.
The horizon. Yeah. I see it. I'm climbing the mountain to it. So.
Keep climbing that mountain, girl, because you're going to get to the top for sure. You are amazing singer songwriter, and I'm so proud to call you a friend. We have a mutual friend, Matt. Hey, CTR Matt, shout out to you. We met through Matt. We were going to get together and sing, weren't we? We were supposed to get together and just kind of jam together, but then
our definitely. We should.
Haven't jived like that one of these days.
You're so busy, Dolly. I can't get a hold of you. You're all over
Not
the place.
True. Someone I know. I'm so proud of you, and I'm excited for you, and just stay in touch, and we're watching your career just take off. It's really exciting. Really happy for you, and the CD is called Beautiful Lies. I've got a copy. Jen, you never signed this. And,
I'll sign it.
I just know it. I'm going to be banging on the back door, backstage, going, I knew her when I needed to sign the CD. I'm like, who are you again? No, I'm kidding. What's next? What's the plan for the summer months? I know you
summer
got
months?
The T-Bottom concert this Saturday, but how are you doing this summer? Where are you going to be playing the majority of your shows?
We're actually I'm kind of working with a few different people. They're kind of helping me focus and zero in on certain areas and aspects that I need to focus on. So I'm really bad at that because I just like to do everything, but then I get all distracted.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing City Winery in June, probably the end of June. We don't have an exact date yet, but that's going to be a big one. And then after that, I don't know. I've got a couple of charities coming up, and I think after the City Winery show, then we'll focus on our major focus is to actually get out on tour and be able to tour the East Coast or the West Coast is the goal. So
yeah, well, hope that happens. What prevents the goal from happening? Is it financial? I mean, is there some – you have a website too, Jenny, because I know that a lot of artists starting out, and you're not just starting out. You really have a unique sound to you that's just – people listen to you and they're like, wow, that voice and the way you play the guitar and the way you put it all together. You have something very unique and special there. And it's sad because a lot of times, singer-songwriters, you can't – it could be very talented, but it takes money in this business to promote yourself.
Yeah, it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of help from, from the people around you, and word of mouth. So working on that right now. And the industry, the music industry is changing, and I think it's changing for the better of the musician. It's just figuring out, I'm still figuring out where I fit into her because I want to make sure that once I get going, I just want to make sure that I keep going. I want the longevity. I don't want it to be a spurt and then have to go back, backwards. So.
Yeah, you don't want to be a one-hit wonder. You want to be like the Beach Boys.
No.
The first concert you ever saw.
And
keep going and playing when you're well into your 70s.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
where
my goal.
Where do you see yourself?
So.
Where do you see yourself 5 years? Do you have that goal, but do you envision yourself 5 years from now where you're going to be?
No, I get anxiety, like, if I think more than, like, 1 month from today. So
okay,
I hope to be,
enough.
You know, playing
living
somewhere, you know. Yeah, living in the moment, maybe in Europe, touring in Europe, or I hope to be in a tour bus somewhere in 5 years from now.
Well, so. I don't doubt that's going to happen. Definitely don't doubt that. And I hope I can catch you on the one of those shows for sure.
Definitely,
okay,
yeah.
Frank, amazing singer-songwriter from Chicago. Are you originally from Chicago? Or like in the suburbs around Chicago, or where exactly?
Yeah, from the suburbs of Chicago. I was born at Central DuPage Hospital originally. So.
Oh, okay. So are you from, what, Downers Grove, Naperville, Lyle, what area?
I guess technically I'm from Winfield, I believe.
Winfield, Illinois.
Yeah. Like for the first couple of years of my existence. I don't remember it, but that's what they tell me.
You know, Winfield, Chicago, it's all the same. They're all the same kind of folk. And,
it is. This is a great area.
Songwriter
for sure.
In between. Well, Jen,
and we're
so
gonna
much
have,
for
I'm gonna have a spot open
show.
For you on the bus, so you're going to come with us and party with us. Right?
I don't want just a spot on the bus. I want to be one of your backup singers for a couple of shows. How about that?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Like,
I would love that.
You're like my Tina Turner. I'll be your Oprah. I'll be the Oprah.
You
remember when Oprah toured with Tina Turner? Do you remember that?
Definitely.
That
I do. That would be awesome. I would love that. So, no, but we should totally do a song together. Like, we got to get together, figure that out, and, you know.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Jump
summertime.
Up on stage and, yeah.
Okay. I'm taking you up on that offer for sure. Y'all heard it here. Jenny Frank, it would be my honor to sing with you. So
it's
check out her website, guys. Everybody check out her website, Jenny Frank. It's FRANCK.com. And go to iTunes and download all of her music. And this new album is called Beautiful Lies, beautiful cover, beautiful music. Keep singing, Jenny. Keep writing. Keep reaching for the stars, my friend.
Thanks, Ellie. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right. Well, have fun Saturday.
Thank you. Thanks. You too. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show. Yes, I'm Dolly McCarthy. I have a couple announcements before we end the show on a good note with Michelle Lynn Gust. We got some good inspiration coming up, folks, so hang tight. A couple quick announcements. Tonight, Kids Matter in Naperville is hosting their third annual Ignite the Night Benefits Showcase Concert, and the Dolly McCarthy Show is a proud sponsor. It's held tonight. There are still tickets available at the Wentz Concert Hall at North Central College. And all of this starts at 7:30 tonight. There will be a performance by Naperville singer and American Idol finalist Gina Glockton, as well as performances by over 100 high school students from the Naperville School Districts 203 and 204 and Bennett Academy. So we're thrilled to have them. You know, Kids Matter is all about to empower parents to help their kids avoid life-threatening choices. And we all know what that means, drugs, bullying, just getting involved with some making some bad choices. So this is an amazing, amazing group. And they also have another group called Parents Matter Too, as well as Kids Matter. And so it's a very, very good cause. We hope you all can come out. Seth and I will be there.
And if you'd like to come, just come to the Wentz Concert Hall, and tickets are available at the door. I think you can check out their website, too, and get more information, but there is a phone number here. 630-637-SHOW is the number to get more information about tonight's event. Or you can go to our Facebook page and get details on that. I told you earlier in the show we're giving away tickets to Stars on Ice. That is Saturday, May 3rd at 7:30 at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. Thanks to everybody that sent us messages on Facebook and Twitter. You won. Just look for that email back from us to see if you won. Well, a lot of you did win. We had a lot of tickets, so thrilled to have that. But you can still get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or go to the Allstate Arena box office for Stars on Ice. And, of course, that is a must-see show. I will be there. I'm bringing my kids. There's all these Olympian champions there that are going to be there. That's kind of funny. And there will also be the United States' first ice dancing gold medalist, Meryl Davis and Charlie White will be there. They just came back from Sochi, Russia, for the Olympic Winter Games. That was pretty cool. Okay, Naperville Marathon, they asked me to do a quick announcement. For all those who have already registered for the Naperville Half Marathon and you didn't get a spot in the other marathon, the full marathon, I guess that's what it means, you can upgrade your registration now for the full marathon in Naperville by April 30th for only $30. So that's just an FYI. If you're interested in running in the Naperville Marathon, this is a newsflash. And that marathon is Sunday, November 9th, and it is a Boston Marathon qualifier. So 26.2 miles, baby. The Naperville Park District is a proud sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show, and there's some great things happening. Mother's Day weekend, they have Spring Fever Reliever on Saturday, May 10th from 11 until 3. The event is free. Didn't you love it when someone tells you something's free? And there's so much fun going on with this thing. There's free popcorn, free music, live music. There'll be paddleboat rides and kayak rentals. It's all along the Naperville Riverwalk in downtown Naperville. If you're not familiar with downtown Naperville, get to the downtown area somehow. And you look at the tall Millennium Carillon. It's right there at the base of that. All this fun stuff is going to be happening there. There's going to be inflatables, bounces, games, nature activities. There'll be kung fu demonstrations. That'll be fun. Crafts and activities for the kids. It's going to be a blast. Boy, I hope it's going to be great weather. Yeah, of course it is. But there's no rain date, so of course it's going to be great weather. That's Mother's Day weekend. So moms, if you're looking for something to do that weekend with your kids, something fun. And speaking of something fun on Mother's Day, how about taking your mom out to brunch at the Chicago Marriott in Naperville on Sunday, May 11th. That's Mother's Day. It's only $35 for brunch for adults and $10 for children. There's three seatings, 10:30, 12:30, and 2:30. Call for reservations. This is at the Chicago Marriott in Naperville. And the number to call for a reservation is 630-505-4900. I'm looking on the menu. There are so many items on this menu. I'm looking for Eggs Benedict here. That's always really fancy. It's got to be your summer. Ooh, house smoked salmon, jumbo shrimp cocktail, omelet station, breakfast potatoes, assorted salads, oatmeal, fruit, bagels and cream cheese, and Mogan David. No, I'm just kidding. Mogan David's not on there. But there is champagne and mimosas. So it looks like a really yummy buffet. So check out the Chicago Marriott Naperville. It's a beautiful hotel, and they were so kind to host the Dolly McCarthy Day in Naperville. We had a fundraiser there a couple of weeks ago, you may recall. And many thanks to the Naperville, or the Chicago Marriott Naperville, for hosting that event and being so generous. So all of the money from the ticket sales could go to Kids Matter, Naperville Cares, not Kids Matter, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. It was Kids Cabaret, Naperville Cares, Operation Support Our Troops, and Bike Ball. So we love the Chicago Marriott Naperville. Thank you so much. And then two more things, right, Beth? Two more things. We mentioned earlier Kankakee Barbecue Festival. Set your calendars, folks. The Dolly McCarthy Show is a proud sponsor of that July 10th through the 11th. John Party
he is going to be performing at Kankakee Barbecue Festival on Saturday. That's Saturday, July 12th. He will also be performing right before Dustin Lynch, two of my favorite country singers. Friday night, let's back up a little, 30th Special and Vanilla Ice will be there, and a Journey band called The Journey Experience will be there as well Friday night. So, I mean, all weekend long, there's nonstop really cool entertainment and good barbecue. And as I said, John Pardee is going to be there. And guess what, folks? He's going to be on our show next week. We're looking forward to talking to John Pardee. And he's, like I said, one of my favorite country singer-songwriters as well. Okay, finally, Next Generation, Back for the Future. This is a fun adults-only night out with totally awesome 80s music, Tubular Trivia, silent auction items, rad raffles, and to the max dancing. Join me. I'm so proud to be to serve as the honorary chair of this event. This is the DuPage Children's Museum, Back for the Future benefit, to benefit the future of our children, the DuPage Children's Museum. And that's all going to happen Friday, June 20th, from 8 until 11. I went to a meeting already, and you would not believe the fun things they have planned and the food that's being planned, the desserts, the beverages. They want you to come dressed in your 80s style. I've done that before at a different charity event. We came dressed in 80s style. It was a riot. There'll be some silent auction items and raffles, of course, but lots of things going with that ticket price of $75. You have the music, the DJ, the dancing, trivia and competitions. They're giving away prizes. Amazing food and beverages and desserts, as I mentioned. So it'll be a great time, a great Friday night in the summer right there in the heart of downtown Naperville, the DuPage Children's Museum. I hope you can join us. It's such a good cause, the DuPage Children's Museum. And for tickets and sponsorship opportunities, you can check out the DuPageChildrensMuseum.org/NextGen, next, and then G-E-N, like generation. Check it out there. Okay? Thanks so much, guys, for listening to all these announcements. Okay, we are now ready for some good inspiration. We all need some. We all want to make a change in our lives, but it feels daunting when we see the long road ahead of us. So how do we do it? Well, let's listen in to Michelle's tips following through in her good inspiration segment. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, let's talk about this.
And my thing is, I want to make sure people can successfully make change, because everybody wants to make some sort of change in their lives, whether it be go back to school, new career, new job, or to lose weight. Some people, it's to ditch a bad relationship and not keep going back. So there's many, many reasons. How do we do that? So I have some tips here. And the first one is to set a series of goals between small, medium, and long term, meaning that you set some goals that are smaller, that are more easily attainable, and then you have your medium range, things are a little longer, and then you have your long range. Because if you set some small ones first, then you'll achieve some success, and you'll be like, you know, I did it. Like, if you set your goal is to lose maybe 30 pounds, well, that's your long-term goal, but you want to have a short-term goal at all. To begin with, like something like, I want to lose, 5 pounds. And then you feel success, like, hey, I did that, I can go on. And the other thing is you want to surround yourself with supportive people who are going to help you. You want to have people who are going to cheer you on. They're like, it's like you're running or walking a race, and they're all along the course beside you going, hey, we're here for you, we're there for you. And also they can guide you and offer suggestions. And they're there for you when you get stuck or you feel burned out. You reach a plateau, and a goal like getting another degree or changing jobs, it can take a lot of time, and you need people along the way because it does get wearing. Another thing that I always talk about is the importance of rewards, that you need to reward yourself along the way, whether you do something small for yourself, just taking time for yourself, which you should do anyway, or you could get a manicure or going for a walk, saying, hey, I'm going to make sure that even though I've got a crazy day ahead, I'm going to go out, I'm going to enjoy the weather, and I know it's raining, I think, or it's supposed to rain there today, I did look at the weather, and whatever it may be, but just to find something that makes you feel good and that you can do and do along the way. The other thing is to keep track of your progress. Maybe use a journal so you can reflect back and see how far you've come. There, so that way you have, as you're going through it, you can see, hey, I didn't realize that I had come this far, especially when you're having a day where you feel burned out, you feel you've reached that plateau, maybe with the weight loss, or you're in the middle of school, or the job search isn't going so well, you find yourself wanting to go back to your relationship, you can go back and say, wow, I really have made some progress.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some tips to, like I said, you can't just set one big goal for the long term. You need to have some steps along the way, and that's why people sometimes aren't able to achieve things. But I'd like to see people really make the change that they want to. You know, those are some ways to do it.
That's fantastic. Well, really good tips for sure about change, and it comes at a great time, changing of the seasons.
That's true.
In Chicago, Michelle, I don't know about, she's in Albuquerque, folks, in New Mexico. There's buds on the trees now. We're seeing some change, finally.
Finally.
I don't think it's going to snow anymore. So,
I hope
yeah.
not. I don't want to hear about it.
Good tips for change, and change is a good thing. It always ends up being a good thing. It's painful going through it, but it always ends up being a good thing, almost like a blessing
Absolutely.
In disguise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, if you want to get inspired more, you can read more about Michelle at www.inspiredbymichelle.com. You can read about Michelle, and she'll inspire you on that website. Check it out. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thanks, Del. Have a good day.
We'll see you next week. You too.
Bye.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Well, we have to end the show. We always end it on a good note. Nice to end it with Michelle Lynn Gust, always on a good note. And if you have, before I do that, though, if you haven't done so already, please like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And on that note, stay positive, everybody. Be good, everybody. Be good to each other. Really appreciate you listening to me and the show, and appreciate everybody getting involved with all these great causes. I'm looking forward to Saturday night, Tri-City Family Services. They're having their big gala, and I appreciate all the listeners coming out that are supporting this great cause and all the others that we talk about on this show. We hope it's an uplifting show for you. Brings me so much joy every week to bring this show to you, and I hope the same for you. So all good things. Speaking of good things, here's my buddy Michael McDermott. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Dolly McCarthy Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
I feel nice, that sugar is fine.